Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Monday, the start of another week. It is June 21st, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hi, Kelly. Good to be here.
I am so glad you're back with me. So we are going to sit and have a little conversation about WWDC.
I must admit, I had to watch the keynote twice. The first time is information overload.
Yes.
You're dazzled, you're amazed, you're trying to keep up, you're panting, trying to catch your breath, wondering what is going on, moving briskly from topic to topic, and you're left just exhausted after 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. Then the second time through, you can put things in perspective, start memorizing terms, start seeing the clarity in the organization and what's important in the keynote. So if you haven't watched the keynote and you're really interested and you want to learn a lot, I recommend a second time through, second pass.
Absolutely. It's definitely a lot of information, and particularly if you're interested in what's happening, you will absolutely want to go back through it, sit down, like absorb a little bit, and then sort of let the first time through wash over you, and then maybe the next time pay a bit more attention to it, see what you can
My perspective changed out. The second time through, too.
Yeah.
The first time through, I was a little bit annoyed by some aspects of iOS,
and
that
okay.
it felt to me like Apple was trying to turn this into a device that you're totally immersed in all the time, especially with SharePlay, which kind of stood out and kind of grabs your attention and makes you have an emotional reaction to it. But then I started, the second time through, I realized that it was just a piece of the iOS, and it didn't really matter because not everybody uses all the features all the time. And SharePlay is something that you might want to use once in a while. And it's not exactly the dominating feature. Although your first reaction to it is kind of like, Apple wants to immerse you in this phone and keep you in it, locked into it 24 hours a day. And then, as a sort of an oxymoron follow-up, they bring up Focus, which helps you break away. You know, it's the old adage, put your phone down and get back to work.
Yeah.
So I thought, and the second time through, spatial audio, voice isolation, wide spectrum, grid view, especially FaceTime links, were nice additions. You can see that Apple's trying to turn FaceTime into a Zoom competitor, and it has added the features that it needs to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So iOS was, of course, the lead-off because that's where all the money is.
Yeah.
I like the changes to messages, although Share With You kind of reminded me of SharePlay. But
see, I looked at that and sort of thought, this is a way to ease people into the news app, because I think maybe not enough people are using it to make Apple happy. Because the more people use the news app, the more people might discover News Plus and decide to add that to their bundle. And that, so I felt like this, that was... like at its most cynical, it was a way to get people a little bit more invested in using the app, because then if they're using the app for free, maybe they could be using it for money as well. That was sort of a thing I was wondering about.
Yeah, there's what you want to do, and what you want to do is briskly and efficiently text somebody. Mm-hmm. And there's all these layers and layers wrapped around text messaging that lead to pressing the wrong button, lead to getting you into a mode that you're not familiar with, require you to be a more of an expert in messages in order to extract the full advantages out of it. And it depends on how much time you have to do that.
Well, you can just text a link, and it looks like that might not change. But if you were to go try and open it later, like if you're trying to catch up on things, if you've been in one of the focus modes, you know, for a while, that those things will show up in news for you. Right now, those things show up like as a suggestion. If you go open a new Safari page, it'll be like, here's a link somebody texted you recently. You should maybe want to check that out. So,
yeah, everybody wants to be a publisher, either that or a videographer, photos and music and memories.
Yeah.
You can spend your whole life doing that. I suppose some people have the time. iPad OS. iPadOS, the return of widget, not the return, but the emphasis on widgets. Apple just won't give up on widgets.
I admit I do like a widget.
Throwing them in our face.
But there's no mail widget, which I think is very odd to this day. I can't believe there's not a mail widget anywhere. Like, I can't get one on iOS either. And I find that weird. Not because I want to send mail. I just want to see, like, what are the three or four most recent messages in my inbox? Because I just want to see if they've changed since the last time I looked. Maybe there's something I'm watching for. And so I wish there was a lightweight way, because I know that there's a lot of kerfuffle around how much you can or should be able to interact with a widget. So that's another reason I think maybe there isn't one. But like, if it was view only and it was like, here are the four or five most recent messages in your inbox, that'd be fine with me. I don't need any more than that from a widget. So I found that a little frustrating to try and do.
I also had a mixed reaction to multitasking. Back when the hardware wasn't as sophisticated, Apple did its very best. Maybe not its very best, but Apple tried valiantly to ease us into multitasking, and it got confusing and a little awkward. Multitasking, I think, has finally arrived properly on the iPad OS. It took them a few years to get there. And so you have some new things to learn about multitasking. And I think it's going to be nice. I liked it.
Yeah,
I wish they'd gotten there sooner.
I definitely liked that it was easier now to actually use that. So
Yeah. Just wasn't very intuitive before.
Yeah, it was great.
Accidentally, with a brush of your fingers, drop into split screen and say, whoops, how do I get out of this?
It's great if you can figure it out. You know, and people who end up there on accident, I think part of the problem was nobody who was there wanted to be there, and the people who wanted to be couldn't get it to work. So I'm glad that that's refined. I felt like there was a lot of refinement this year, and I appreciated that.
I liked the iPadOS section. I liked the app privacy report, and I liked the on-device speech recognition. I think we've talked about this previously at the Mac Observer. When you have to do speech recognition on a server, your speech has to be uploaded, diagnosed by the server, and served back to you, and that's a privacy issue. In many respects, whether it's in transmission or whether the data is saved and analyzed by Apple servers for research. But the processor on the iPhone 12 now is powerful enough that you can do onboard speech recognition. It's faster, it's more secure, and I think it's about time, and I'm happy to have that. So that pleased me greatly.
Yeah, I did like that. And another thing I noticed, I don't know if this was a thing that you picked up as well, was a lot of teaming up. Like, we got a lot of feature announcements, and then this is who all we're working on it with. Here's the thing, and here's who all we're working on it with. And it seemed like there was quite a bit of that, which I appreciated. It was nice to see them teaming up with others on that stuff.
It's amazing how good the games have become on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
The graphics are incredible.
Yeah. And honestly, that was the thing I appreciated this year as well, was no lengthy game demos, because I didn't really need to see them. So I only noticed they were gone because I noticed all the other stuff we got. So that was part of what I thought was sort of notable about it. So.
Oh, as a reminder, I have a note here. The opening developer video fell flat. In years past, Apple has had some very cute videos, either at launch and or sprinkled throughout the WWDC presentation of the keynote. But this year, they only had one special video, and it was at the very beginning.
Uh-huh.
And I kept waiting for it to become awesome, and it never did.
Well, I liked that they tried to do something a little different. I have appreciated, you know, some of the others. I do think it fell a little bit flat. But I don't know what they could have done instead, I guess. I'm not, like, to make that idea more entertaining. But I did appreciate that they did put developers front and center. Like, right at the beginning of the video, you get developers, which I thought was pretty cool. So I did like
that.
Did
you catch when Craig Federighi threw the iPad in the air?
I did.
And did you catch the notes at the end on the health and safety notes and the credits at the end? No iPads were harmed in the filming of the show.
I did appreciate that. I liked that a lot. So, yeah. And now this is my own, theory on this, is that the reason he did it was because it was sort of a shout out to Prince. So,
I didn't catch that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's like that. That's just me, sort of making that up. Like, I've decided in my own head that he threw it, much like what do you call it, when Prince was at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and threw his guitar up in the air.
Okay.
Because it was
You're
the same
master of pop culture.
Well, it's only because why is my brain melting? It's because that was Prince's birthday. It was June 7th, the day that the video came out. And so that's why that's the connection I'm making in my head. I could be completely wrong. And in fact, may be completely wrong. But I appreciated it for that reason. And maybe it's just because I know that that's Prince's birthday, so I was kind of already thinking about Prince. And so watching him throw the iPad up in the air and never having it come back down again, much like Prince with his guitar, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'll put a link to that in the show notes for people who haven't seen it. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Let's talk about Monterey.
Mac OS 12, they said.
Still no Mac OS Death Valley. I guess that's the next version. Monterey, pretty cool.
Yeah.
It came very late in the presentation. It was well over an hour, maybe an hour and 10 or 12 minutes into the presentation when we got to Monterey. Everything came first. Mm-hmm. Home automation came first.
Yeah.
Health came first. iOS, iPad.
Well, I think those are the bigger things. Like, there were bigger changes coming to those. Even
but you
though
think they grouped the OSs together.
Yeah.
Instead of having the long section on health and watch,
yeah,
and then home, and then finally this trivial and important little small seller thing called Mac OS.
Well, I don't know. I did like that.
My take is that starting with Big Sur, Apple's on this campaign to make sure that all the features that are in iOS and iPad OS appear in Mac OS, mm-hmm, and they look alike and they work alike. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of welcome.
Yeah,
for a long time there was Mac OS was a sort of like unwanted ugly child in terms of cool Mac, in terms of cool iPad and iOS features. Mm-hmm. So now there's some parity between the two, and they work alike and look alike. And that's where the universal control can finally come in.
Yeah, which looks really cool. In my opinion, the universal control.
People will use that.
Yeah.
But I suppose it looked pretty cool on a desk in the lab when you could line up three computers.
Yeah.
But most people's lives are too messy to organize themselves that well.
But I bet there's a lot of people who would like sort of the level up of Sidecar, which is something people have now. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, if you're using Sidecar to get an additional macOS screen, but what you really want is to use your keyboard and your mouse, but do something on your iPad, you know, real quick for a minute, that might be another way to do it. Because especially if you if you have other, you know, if you're using your iPad with your email inbox on it, right? Or maybe you have Slack running on that other sort of side display. This is a very easy way to go interact with that for a minute from your keyboard and your mouse and then go back to what you're doing. And I think that for a lot of people, that's going to come in handy. So we'll see. Now, like a computer and an iPad or whatever, like, I think that's going to be a way less common use case. But definitely being able to do something real quick on your iPad for a minute with the keyboard and mouse you already have is probably going to come in really handy for a lot of people. So
I think this is going to boost Mac sales too.
Yeah.
Because when you went into the Apple store in the past, you were in there to buy a phone. You were pretty familiar with iOS and you knew how a phone worked and there are things you expected. Mm-hmm. And then you'd come over to another table and you'd look at the Mac and it would be alien to you. Mm-hmm. And you'd go, I don't know how to use that. I'm happy with my Windows machine. So mm-hmm, I think this is a path to boosting the Mac sales, especially with its M1.
Yeah, and another thing I liked in that particular way is just sort of making things feel familiar, even if it's not the same features, but making it something so that if you are an iOS user, going to a Mac isn't going to necessarily be the hurdle that it would be. It's learning, you know, sort of iOS plus as opposed to an entity unto itself, and I sort of like that. So,
doing every quarterly report, Tim Cook always mentioned something along the lines of, okay, so for the last quarter, 50% of the people who bought a Mac were new to the Mac. That finally sunk in.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, if they're new to the Mac, they must be having some struggles. Let's make it easier for them.
Yeah.
So, AirPlay Mac, how come it took so long?
You know, wow. I wondered that too. I don't know. So, a thing that sort of struck me with that was that they talked about it, but then they didn't say a whole lot about it, which I sort of thought was kind of interesting. But it's AirPlaying to your Mac from someplace else. So you've got something on your phone and you want to toss it up on your computer real quick for a thing or whatever. That's the thing we're talking about here. So,
right.
Yeah.
One of the things I noticed was that the Monterey section was very short. Mm-hmm. There was some padding in there in the middle about some iOS stuff. I forget what it was, but they took a little subroutine into iOS. And then another thing I noticed was there wasn't a whole lot of discussion, even though there may be some details in sessions during the week.
Yeah.
I didn't see a whole lot of information I didn't see any information about new security protocols in Monterey. They probably need to give us a breather because the security lockdowns from Catalina into Big Sur have been...
Mm-hmm.
Tough sledding for some people.
Yeah, well, if you were on Catalina, moving to Big Sur wasn't a great big change. If you were moving from something further back, it was a big change. And I think some of that same stuff is going to happen in Monterey as well. So if you're on Mojave or something older, and then you move up to Monterey, it's going to be a big switch for you. So I think that's going to be part of it. Obviously, there's going to be security updates and things under the hood of the operating system. This is, of course, aside from the private relay stuff that we're getting with mail to help with a little bit of data privacy and being able to sort of disguise some of that stuff and keep your data from becoming identifiable data that other people can use for monetary purposes.
That's built into the mail, but what's not built in is a custom email.
Yeah.
You have to pay iCloud Plus for that, and that annoyed me.
Well, what I liked is that if you're paying anything for iCloud storage already, you get it for free. So now it goes from shockingly overpriced to just really overpriced. I guess
that's one way to look at it.
That's the advantage.
The proper perspective.
Like,
yeah.
That's all I saw. That's what I saw in it was, because lots of people are paying, you know, a dollar for the extra 200 gigabytes or whatever, and so even those folks are going to get that, which I think is really nice. So, that's one that I thought was going to actually be useful, and that lots of people have because lots of people are just paying that dollar a month, so.
So my overall perspective was very positive, except for some wrinkling of my eyebrows during iOS,
yeah,
where it seemed like Apple wants you to have all day in your phone.
Uh-huh.
But maybe, like I said, as I said, not everybody uses all the features all the time. So it's nice to have some of these things when you need them.
Yeah.
I think the SharePlay was born of the COVID lockdown.
Oh, of course.
Where people were watching stuff together.
Yep.
And I'm afraid to say that that's more like looking where the puck has been than where the puck is going.
Yep. Absolutely. I thought the same thing about coming for Zoom this fall instead of last fall. I feel like some of this should have been stuff that was in iOS 14 so that people could have been doing this last fall. maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know. That seemed like, I mean, I don't care that much. Like, you know, for the most part, we've, you know, like what's done is done, right? We've survived the previous winter. And so now, like, things are hopefully going to improve. But it definitely feels like there's going to be a place for that going forward forever in some capacity. It may not be a very big one, but I think there's going to be some there. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes. That's going to do it for us today, though. John, thanks so much for coming by to give us your perspective on this.
You're very welcome. It was nice to be here. Thank you.
I always appreciate having you. If you have any comments for us, or if there's something that we missed that you want to make sure we talk about, you can get us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.